Okay, welcome everyone. My name is Divine. This is episode 354 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. And in today's podcast, we're going to be talking about a residency scale. And I guess this is also a medical student scale, how to pre-round. This should be a short and sweet podcast, but it should be a very high value podcast, especially for just clinical practice. And as I do, just as a reminder, if you're going to be taking the USMLE Step 2 CK or Step 3 exams within the month of December or the month of January, I strongly encourage you to attend the two courses I have actually next week. On the 6th of December, which is next week Monday, I have an MBME Testing and Strategies course. It goes from 2 to 4:30 p.m. Mountain Time, which is 4 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And in that course, we're going to be discussing many different MBME test taking strategies. Again, I've seen many people where their even QBank percentages go up a lot after they attend the course, and even their MBME practice exams go up a lot. I get these very wonderful emails pretty much every Wednesday of how people have done really well on the exams. And then from the 7th to the 10th of December, I have the 24-hour MBME review course. We're going to be reviewing peds, surgery, internal medicine, OB-GYN, psych, neuro, biostatistics, ethics, multi-system processes and disorders. We're going to review a lot of very high-yield things over a 24-hour period. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time from Tuesday the 7th to Friday the 10th of December. That's essentially from noon to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, I've had many people take these courses, done really, really well on the exams. So if you want a very good clutch integrative review ahead of your exam, and you're taking your Step 2 CK or Step 3 exam or Comlex Level 2 or 3 exams in December or January, then you should take this course. I'm pretty certain at this point, you know, barring any unforeseen circumstances, that my next course is not going to be until February. So let's get right into it, right? So pre-rounding, right? So pre-rounding, many med students are afraid of this stuff. Many residents are bogged down by this stuff, but it's an essential part of clinical practice. That is just the truth, right? And again, the thing is pre-rounding, even in the ICU, because, you know, the ICU rotations tend to be quite intense for many people, shouldn't be the end of the world. You know, it shouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Pre-rounding is something that you should do with joy. It's something that you should be able to do pretty quickly, even if you have a large number of patients. At least I will say from personal experience, there are times in my life where I've had like maybe like 8 patients that I had to pre-round on and see and write notes on. Just again, because of the technicalities of clinical practice, sometimes things just get busy and everyone needs to pitch in. But I will say for a med student, that's highly unlikely to be the case. For most med students, the maximum number of patients they'll probably put you with is probably 3 or 4. And, you know, as a resident, especially as an intern, I will say, you know, probably 5 is what you're looking at in terms of if you're getting a ton of patients. I'll say a decent number of patients. Getting a ton of patients is like getting 8 or 9. So how do you pre-round? Let's just get right into it. So the very first thing you do when you pre-round is to get to work on time. This is a problem for many people. You see them, they come when sign out, like, 2 minutes before sign out from the overnight team. That's usually not a smart or a prudent idea. Again, I know, yes, it's going to rob you of some sleep, but you're going to get that time back on the back end. So just show up on time. For me, during my transitional year, I had a practice of showing up to work many times about 15 to 30 minutes before sign out. 15 to 30 minutes before sign out. Again, you will see exactly why this is very helpful as we go along, right? But just show up on time. If you show up on time, even if you're going to meet chaos at work, you are better able to control that chaos because you just showed up to the chaos before everyone else. That is just the truth. So some people may say, this is being a goner or whatever. It's not. It's just common sense and wisdom. And you'll see why as we go along. But even if it's just 15 minutes ahead, it just really, really helps. Just show up on time. The thing is, if you show up on time, you'll not be caught by many surprises. So now you get to work before sign out. Okay, so what's the second thing that you do? The second thing that you do is that you do a chart biopsy, right? So what do I mean by a chart biopsy? So if you know the patients you're going to be attending to during the day, you need to look at 3 things in the chart. One, you need to look at what the nurse has done overnight, right? What fluids did she give? Did she take any vitals overnight? Did she write any little notes? You know, nurses have their little notes they write overnight. Check those things out. Two, look at the notes from the previous day, right? So look at the notes from the nurses. Look at the notes from the physicians. Look at the consult notes. And to be honest with you, before you panic and say, oh, wow, Devon, you're giving me so many notes to read. The thing I really want you to do is to look at the assessment and plan. That's really what you should be looking at. Look at the assessment and plan. Even look at the notes you yourself wrote the previous day, right? Just look at the assessment and plan. That's going to be the highest yield section that will give you the biggest bang for your buck. And then the third thing you look at the vitals and the labs that happened overnight that you're just not aware of, right? So things like urine output, things like the medications they're getting. I always like to check the MR in the EMR, right? Just check the medications that they're getting, check their urine output, check their vitals. And the thing you're trying to spot, you're looking for trends, right? So if you notice that a person's hemoglobin is going up, that's good. If you notice that a person's urine output is coming down, that's bad, right? So you just want to check out these trends. It's just very helpful. And the thing is, when you're doing this chart biopsy, the smart thing to do is literally be making a problem list. Just be writing it down, right? Anything you find that is egregious, or anything you find that you're like, man, this thing is not good, try to write it down. If you write it down, then you're going to be saving yourself time because those are the things you're going to be focusing on, right? So that's what you do first. And then the next thing you do is you get sign out, right, from the overnight team. You get sign out from them, right, on your patients, right? Again, just many times if you've done step one well, then this sign out from the overnight team, you're really not going to get very much from it, to be honest with you, because you've just kind of done the legwork. Now, the moment you're done getting sign out from the overnight team, the next thing you need to go to immediately is the overnight nurse. So that's the next step. Go to the overnight nurse, right? And the thing is, to be honest with you, it is good etiquette in healthcare to see the overnight nurse before the nursing sign out, because it's kind of tacky, it's kind of mean to try to get sign out from a nurse when they've started their own sign out, right? Because these people, they've worked overnight, they're trying to get home to their families. It just kind of seems like the right thing to do to just meet them beforehand. And I'm telling you, this overnight nurse is a gold mine of information, right? So meet them, ask them, and be respectful. Be respectful, like, because again, they've had to work overnight. You don't know the kind of nights they've had, right? Again, especially nurses in the ICU. So just be kind to them. Smile for them, right? If you have a chocolate bar or something, hand to them. You know, just something to give them that good sugar surge in the morning, right? So just ask the overnight nurse, how are things overnight, right? How are things overnight? Many times they will tell you all that you're going to get from the patient if you walked into the room to see them. To be honest with you, I almost exclusively never saw the patient before I saw the nurse. No, I always went to see the overnight nurse first before I saw the patient. Because again, believe it or not, the nurses are there. They're literally at the bedside. They know exactly what is going on with the patient, right? So ask the overnight nurse, what happened overnight? Any changes overnight? Anything we're concerned about? And then one question I always ask the overnight nurses, is there anything you would like me to do today for this patient that I have my own ideas, but I just want to hear you out? Is there anything you would like me to do today? Again, many times, the thing is, you cannot know the patient as intimately as the nurse that is taking care of said patient, right? Many times they'll say, I think he's a little dry. He may need fluids, this and that. If you do that, again, you're just building up your assessment and plan very rapidly. And then after you do that, thank the nurse. Again, respect and respectfulness and, being humble is always appreciated in healthcare. And then after that, go and see the patient. Go and see the patient. Just see the patient real quick, right? Just say, hi, Mr. Whatever, Mrs. Whatever. How was your night? Say hello to them. Do a focused exam, right? Do a focused exam. And then after that, the next thing you do is you go into the electronic medical record and start writing your note. Start writing your progress note. Your progress note should be an assessment and plan. Start with the assessment and plan first. Don't worry about the subjective, objective, all that, whatever. Start with the assessment and plan. And where do you get your assessment and plan from? Well, you get it from these things you've been collecting, right? So remember that chart biopsy? you did in the first early step, where I was like, oh, the nurse's notes from overnight, notes from yesterday, vitals and labs that have happened overnight or whatever, right? Those are the problems, right? Just write down those things and then write down what you want to do for them, right? And to be honest with you, as you are writing these assessment and plans, one thing that is prudent or is wise, but this is probably more under the purview of a resident than a medical student, is those things you are doing, if there are labs you want to get done, right? You're like, oh, this person's hemoglobin is like 6.5. Okay, I want to give one unit of blood. Just go ahead and start putting in those orders, right? But first, write the assessment and plan. And then after that, this thing doesn't take that much time. Just put in those orders, put in those consults, right? Just do them there and there, right? And then after you've done the assessment and plan, then go back and write the subjective. And again, I feel like many people are very verbose in the medical record, right? Just calm down, right? We're not trying to read a novel. We're not trying to read an essay from you. Just write the stuff that is short, sweet, and to the point. Even in the ICU, short, sweet, and to the point. Don't miss out on anything important. But I feel like one problem with many people is they have this thing of they use templates for stuff, and then they populate their notes for the patient with just a lot of crap that does not need to be there, right? So the stuff that is important, just put it in, right? Be high yield. Write the things that are the most important, right? Write the note, but don't sign the note yet. Just save it. And then after you do this, go for rounds. The thing is, during rounds, obviously, the whole team is going to see the patient. You're going to be taking advantage of the collective expertise of everybody on the team. So if they spot anything that needs to be done, you didn't think about, you can just write it down and modify your assessment and plan, right? So you go on rounds. And in fact, to be honest with you, sometimes during rounds, I'm like putting in orders for people, right? So in fact, sometimes things go so well that if you've done all these steps I've told you to do well, believe it or not, there are some times where I actually sign my notes for a patient on rounds, right? On rounds, because most times, if you go through this high fidelity process I've just described, it's very hard for you to miss anything, literally, right? So, right, just go on rounds, anything you want to see or whatever, you know, write it down, you know, modify your assessment and plan or whatever. But after that, then after rounds, this is very important. This is like a problem with many residents. Again, I'm not trying to call people out here, but it's just a very big problem in residency. After rounds, don't dilly-dally. What do I mean by dilly-dally? Dilly-dally means just wasting time. I feel like many times after rounds, people are like, oof, rounds are done. And then they go, they chill in the workroom, they watch TV, they chat with the other residents, they go to the hospital cafeteria to grab food and all those things. To be honest with you, one policy you should have is, I am not going to have food, I'm not going to dilly-dally until I've completed all my notes. The thing is, you need to work with a sense of urgency if you want to be efficient as a medical student or as a resident, right? So just have a no food, no dilly-dally policy until my notes are signed. Now, the thing is, after you write your notes, for each of the patients you have a very quick separate checklist. You know, just you're like, oh, these five or seven things that... And your checklist really should have two things. One, what are the things I'm trying to track today for these patients? Two, what are the things that need to get done for the patient that have not been done? Write those things down in a separate checklist, right? In a separate checklist. As you get these things done, check them off your list. And to be honest with you, try to complete your checklist before noon conference. That is usually a smart idea. Try to get your list, complete your checklist done before noon conference. And then, just as a bonus, I'll just throw in the fact that many times, especially in the ICU, one smart idea is to do something I call hourly rounds. What do I mean by hourly rounds? I do not mean that, oh, wow, go to your patients and check them out every hour. No, you very likely don't have time for that. But to be honest with you, at least every hour, you should spend like between two to five minutes and just go into the medical record real quick and check. Okay, these things that I wanted to get done, have they been done? How is this patient doing? How are things evolving, right? If you need to call their nurse or page the nurse, right? Again, just if you do these hourly rounds, it's almost like you're like, almost like the NSA that is just overseeing your patients, and you're not missing out on anything. You're catching every communication, right? You're just not going to get too many surprises if you follow this mantra. So I think I'm going to go ahead and stop here. But again, I'm really telling you, if you follow these rules, and the thing is, when you follow them, you're going to be slow at first. I'm telling you the truth. You're going to be slow at first, right? I remember my first ICU, like my first few days in the ICU during my transitional year, I was really slow with my patients, really, really slow. But once I developed an approach, I got really fast. You will give me 5-6 ICU patients, and I'll be done pre-rounding and writing the notes and everything for them in about maybe an hour or like an hour and a half tops on a slow, or me, like on a day where I'm like, wow, really slow, or I'm like being pressed for time. So I'll just encourage you, just follow these steps, right? Practice them a few days in a row. When you do that, you'll notice that these things will become a lot easier. So thank you for listening to me today. Again, as I do at the end of every podcast, I do offer one-on-one tutoring for many exams. Step 1, Step 2 CK, Step 3, Comlex Level 1 through 3, preclinical med school exams, third year shelf exams. The only thing I don't offer tutoring for is OMM. And then, again, I also offer the review courses for Step 2 CK and Step 3. Again, those review courses also apply to people taking Comlex Level 2 and 3. And then I have a new website, divineinterventionlifelessons.com. In fact, there is an Apple podcast for it. It's called the Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast. And again, right now, I believe I have about 39 or 40 episodes. I try to do like, you know, 1 to 2 episodes a week. For the most part, it's usually 2 per week, usually on Fridays and Sundays, where I have a short podcast on a life lesson or something that is relevant to just a, you know, common problem that's faced by humanity. And then I have these podcasts, at least the most recent 150, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, and on Spotify, right? If you want everything from episode 1 all the way to this current episode, episode 354, then you have to go on the website, divineinterventionpodcasts.com. If you actually subscribe on that website, you need a WordPress account for that. You'll get an email notification whenever I make a new podcast. And then I have a YouTube channel, Divine Intervention, USMLE Podcasts and Videos. That's where I post the videos that I make. I've actually posted some videos in recent times, and I'm going to be posting more. Again, I'm going to try to post quite frequently. So just subscribe, Divine Intervention, USMLE Podcasts and Videos, and you'll see my picture there. You just subscribe, and again, you just hit that subscribe button, and you get a notification whenever I make a new post. And then the one thing I guess I want to say as a very quick, rapid life lesson today is the importance of living your life on laws, being a principled person. The thing is, there are two things that can drive a human being in life. It can be your emotions, or it can be principles. Many people, unfortunately, are driven by emotions. But the thing is, emotions are they change a lot. They vacillate from time to time, right? Like you see some people, they are not feeling it in the morning, but then in the afternoon, they're in the zone, right? But the thing is, principles don't change, right? Principles, they're principles for a reason. They are hard and fast, right? So find good principles. There are many places you can find good principles in this life. You can find good principles from the Bible. You can find good principles from good YouTube videos. You can find good principles from newspapers. Just ask yourself, what is the right principle for this thing I'm doing? And then plug yourself into that principle. When you plug yourself into that principle, then success is inevitable. That is just the truth. But you see, many people, they live based on emotions, right? Because the thing is, emotions are more about the here and now. Principles have thought about all the different circumstances that can happen and are more long-term in the approach, right? So I'll encourage you, be a principled person. Don't be a person of pleasure. Be a person of principle. When you're a person of principle, then you are living life on the higher way. So thank you for listening to this podcast. Until next time, have a wonderful day. God bless you. Thank you.